There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Eclipse Monday. Glad to have you along. As we're approaching, I think 154 is when it's supposed to be the most eclipsed out there, the most moon in shoving itself in front of the sun out there. Actually, we got a lot to talk about with my friend John Sharp from AL.com. But first, well, we'll talk about this. You're at Bayfront Park right now?
Yeah, I'm at Daphne's Bayfront Park.
Okay, and you said y'all are seeing some of it. I'm here at Airport in 65, and we have such thick cloud cover because Pat's on here saying he's seeing a little bit of it through a welding mask. We're getting nothing. I just walked out with my stupid 2017 eclipse glasses. Maybe I had to get some 2024s, but I cannot. It's just cloud deck here. We can't see it. But you said y'all can.
Yeah, we can see it. It's overcast here, you know, but it's a good crowd. There's a lot of folks showing up here. It seems to be kind of the place to be. I think this is kind of cool. Be interested to see if there's other gathering spots in this area, you know, public parks primarily. But this is, Bayfront Park here in Daphne was recently renovated, and it seems like this is like the first gathering, you know, out here since then. And that's kind of a neat little vibe. But you can see a little bit, yeah. After I'm done talking to you, I'm going to head out and check out the vibe out here. It's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, I as told everybody in the beginning, even I may goof on some things. I've been asking questions like, do you think people in the past were all burning retinas right and left because they didn't know it, like all the stuff we know now? Do we have whole cultures, you know, where the path went over that everybody had burned retinas? I don't know. I need somebody to dig into that. But I think it's really neat. I'm just saying I'm kind of bummed right now because unless something changes here, we're not going to be able to see it at the opulent FM Talk 106.5 studios. But without any further ado, a story you and I have talked about for how long have you and I been talking about the bridge project?
I mean, probably about as long as the Amtrak project. So, you know, it's a tie.
I mean, you and I are in a documentary, right? Series of stories and documentaries where they have quotes from you and I on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. And that thing's, you know, probably so old it was on film and not digital. But here we go again, and you write about it over at AL.com. We're taking a pause here from the bridge project as cost have ballooned. Oh, have they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For quite some time, we've reported that the estimated cost of the project would be $2.7 billion. Now we're up to a range of $2.8 billion to $3.5 billion.
Remember when it was $800 million? Remember that quote? When do you remember that was probably 10 years ago? They said it was going to be an $800 million project. And I remember Shelby's office saying, well, we can get this amount. $3.5 billion.
Yeah, I remember not too long ago, it was around $2 billion. And at that time, I think it had been widely reported that at that amount, it would be the most expensive project, road project in the state's history. And so, you know, we've really gone beyond that now. Largely due to the escalation of costs since the pandemic, and that's kind of where we're at right now. ALDOT's indicated, as you've well reported, everybody has, that, you know, take a pause for about 60 days to figure out if there's any ways they can reduce the cost of this project, and we'll see. I don't know. I know that from the revenue side of things, trying to raise revenue for this project is something that they've worked at for quite some time. I don't know if they're going to find a magic elixir within 60 days on that. I mean, we've talked about the mega grants. We've talked about, you know, whether or not the state should pony up more money. And so, you know, on the revenue side of things, I don't know what new idea will emerge within, this time period. But yeah, on the cost side of things, it'll be interesting to see what they come back with.
I think, okay, a couple things. I think what they're going to come back, the magic elixir is going to be a toll.
I mean, there's already a toll. Yeah. Just how much will that toll be?
Well, remember the toll structure? Remember how high it, remember when it, like, for trucks and trailers, it was $24 or something like that? I remember the high end, and then, you know, they kept messing with the numbers. But, I mean, at $3.5 billion, I wonder if they're going to just come back and say, yes, the toll for, it'll be at $1 million to cross the Bayway.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a project right now. It's heavily leveraged on borrowing and financing. And the way that you pay it back is through the cost passed on to the user, which is in this, you know, is a toll. And that's been a very controversial issue for quite some time. You know, the controversy's died down a little bit in the last couple of years, largely because, you know, there's been those free routes on the Causeway and the Wallace Tunnel and the Bankhead Tunnel. Beforehand, what caused an uproar was that we were going to toll. I mean, you'd be told to use either of the tunnels. So, you know, we'll be interested to see whether or not that changes again and what that might look like. Also, the public-private partnership arrangement previously, which was also controversial, has since been removed. You know, and I have no indication to suggest whether or not that might be revisited or not. I doubt it, because the two MPOs, the Eastern Shore MPO and the Mobile MPO, have stated they have this particular framework that they're looking at, and they don't want to go outside that framework. Otherwise, then we get back to the whole situation of removing the project from transportation planning and all sorts of stuff, and we're back to ground zero again. So these 60 days, when we come back and regroup, it should be interesting to see what, you know, where we're at. At this point, it's just pure speculation.
I wonder if it has a better chance for, public partnership, all these things to come back. These poison pills were in it before because, as you report, ALDOT has spent approximately $200 million towards developing the project. And I wonder if it's going to be one of these things where they say, listen, do you want to just let, you just want to waste $200 million? We're already that far in. You know, we got to do whatever it takes to get this across the finish line. I just wonder if there won't be, you know, this idea, well, maybe it's not perfect, but heck, we've already spent $200 million, which is crazy to a lot of people who don't, you know, watch this every day. We spent $200 million and they don't see any structure, right? I mean, that's real money.
Yeah, but from my understanding is that they're getting really close. I mean, other than obviously the financing issue, that they're getting really close from a engineering and construction standpoint to begin the work out there. And then they talk about a 5-year time frame to build this thing. So, time is of essence. I think they see this with this next 60 days. It's been described as financially viable all along, even though, you know, it's escalated in cost now. I have not heard that it's not financially viable. It's just, you know, how are we going to pay for this? And, where are these cost savings going to come from? You know, I don't know. I mean, we're building a bridge and a bayway that stops in Daphne. It doesn't go beyond the 98 exit. It stops right there. So we're not taking it to 181. And we could shave that portion back or cut back from this and that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they come back with.
I'm just looking at it. I'm just wondering where, you know, the rest of the money comes from. Because if they're now projecting, it could be as much as $3.5 billion. And I'm no engineer here, no government official. I just know when they give me a number, I add money to it, and I've never been proven wrong. So let's say $3.5 billion means $4 billion. We got, you know, what ALDOT's saying, they'll give $250 million. The Infragrant money, what, $125 million? We're still not even close to $4 billion. I would not even, it's not like if we get one more person in, we'll get this thing, or one more, you know, tranche of money and we're good. I mean, we're very far away.
That's correct. But I do think that there's a lot of hope. There is an application for this mega grant. And this project has received the U.S. DOT's attention. They've been providing ALDOT with, I guess you call it technical advice, through the grant application process. They call it the mega grant, and that's $500 million. If this project receives that amount of money, I think that's a significant victory.
We're still $3 billion short. We're still, I mean, you get that, the money that's already there. We're still $3 billion short.
You're correct, but, you know, all along we're looking at borrowing. I mean, that's how you pay.
I know, but that's like, that's just, I mean, maybe in today's world where money doesn't mean the same thing as growth, but I mean, that's just crazy amounts of money. I mean, not for Washington, but for Alabama and the Gulf Coast, it is.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of where we're at. I don't know how they're going to, you know, what are they going to look at as far as cutting back on the scope of the project? That's going to be interesting. In the past, you know, this project shifted and changed. Remember, it was a truck. You know, we had the truck toll only, and then they, you know, we were going to keep the existing bayway for, you know, that was under consideration, and adding a third lane, I mean, that almost was looked upon as too dangerous. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of creative infrastructure alternatives they may come back with on this project. I hate to speculate because I really don't know. I mean, you know, we're at right now. Both MPOs are keeping an eye on this thing. They got a framework. They want to keep this project in without it, you know, getting too out of hand with polls. You know, we'll give them the 60 days. I mean, we've given them plenty of time as it is, so let's give them the 60 days to figure this out.
Yeah, listen, over the tenure of this thing, 60 days is nothing. But so what your understanding is, at the end of 60 days, there's a press conference or whatever, and they're saying, we are going to keep going, but we're making these cuts, or we're not going to keep going. I mean, you know what I'm saying? How many choices do they have at this after 60 days? Is one of the choices say we're stopping the project?
I mean, they may. I mean, it could be potentially to halt it, but I don't think that's what they want to do. Yeah, you're right, though. I think there's going to be we'll get to the 60 days. The NPOs will be brought up to speed. The public will be brought up to speed on where we're at on this. And, you know, the MPOs only know what we know, too. They're allowing ALDOT time to do their discovery and do their further investigation on this thing. And, you know, this is a big project for this area. This is not some small project, quick turnaround. It hasn't been all along. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to say, well, you know, 60 days, what the heck, you know, what's going on here? At this point, you're like, well, you know, take your time and come back because, you know, if this is ballooned up to $3.5 billion, you know, it's no longer a $2.7 billion, no longer $2.1 billion or $800 million. So it continues to go up, yes.
Yeah, if y'all want to look at, you know, I often refer to the Overton window out there. This is a good example of the Overton window. When it was $800 million, people were like, that's a lot of money. That was $1.5 billion. Then, you know, what we've now set as the new standard is something. All right, John, this is a story. I thought that Mobile had dealt with this in the past. Your story here about Mobile City officials weighing whether to make it a low-level marijuana arrest a simple ticketed offense, you said following the same tactics from Birmingham and Tuscaloosa. Didn't they talk about this before, maybe a year or two ago, or something with that was it was changing it? And I didn't know if it didn't, obviously didn't make it through back then.
No, actually, a little further back than that. I think you got to go back to 2018. I'm not completely sure on that date, but I think it's before Birmingham and Tuscaloosa brought this up. And it was kind of mentioned, but it wasn't. There was no concrete policy or ordinance being proposed, but it was out there as a potential as going in this direction of issuing a ticket instead of going through the judicial system with an arrest for low level marijuana offenses. But here we are now, and now they're considering it. I have not seen an ordinance. There has not been an ordinance proposed. We're just anticipating one. I talked to some city council members, and they're kind of in the dark. They don't know what the administration is going to roll out yet. But we're anticipating something within the next maybe month or two. That was my understanding from the comments I got from city officials, from the mayor's administration, to expect potentially going in this direction.
All right. So y'all check out those stories and a whole bunch more over at AL.com. And if you happen to be at Bayfront Park, go give the man on the street opinion to John, where he's doing some reporting about the eclipse. Right, John? We get quotes. People say, I don't think it's real good. I've seen better.
It's like I said, people, they're all looking up. It's they're doing this the right way.
Yeah. Good stuff. Remind folks, too, if they want to talk anything from NCAA basketball to the news of the day with you, how do they find you online?
Oh, I'm heartbroken over that.
But yeah, no joke.
I'm at John Sharp 99.
All right, John, get back to it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you.
There you go, John Sharp, one of the good ones out there. Go say hi to him if you're out at Bayfront, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Do a total eclipse of the heart.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
125 FM Talk 106.5. You wonder if this thing's going to cool the global temperature any, right? What's going through? Some percentage of a degree. It's not happening here. It's just getting dark. We can't see the sky here. Well, we can see the sky. We just can't see the sun. Right. Let's go to the phones here at 343-0106. And David is up in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. Before we talk about the bridge, I do want to tell your listeners that Dominic Gates of the Seattle Times on yesterday, did a really good wrap-up article of problems going on with Boeing. And Dominic is one of the two, what I would consider two, the premier Boeing reporters in the country on Boeing. So I would encourage them to go seek that out and read that article from yesterday's Seattle Times, because it's a very good wrap-up article on what's went wrong and what they have to do to get back going the right way.
Okay, so, cool. I'll check it out.
Also, now, I'm not an engineer, but okay. I have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
Right.
So here's what I think they could do to cut cost on the bridge. Now, they're going to probably never do it, because it makes a lot of sense, and that is build the river bridge, the span over the river, connect it to the current bayway, take the Wallace Tunnel, and connect it to the causeway on the east side of the tunnel, and then restrict on-ramp access from the causeway to the bayway at the mid-bay exit, you know, that exit in the middle of the bay where because there's three choke points on the bayway. There's the tunnel, there's that mid-bay exit, and then about halfway between that mid-bay exit and the Daphne exit, there's a choke point because of people getting off to the right to get off on that first Daphne exit. So you could, to fix that problem, you can take that that off ramp that's at that first exit and bring it further towards Mobile, maybe like a half a mile or even a mile. So that gives people more time to get over to the right to get over. And then that solves most of your problems for the next decade and a half. Now, it gives you that time.
On the Bankhead part of it, you're saying the Bankhead connects to the, it
not
does
the
connect.
Bankhead, the Wallace.
Okay,
the
I thought you said the tunnel. Bankhead. Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, take the Wallace Tunnel. Basically,
Wallace dumps out onto the causeway. Okay. Bridge goes on the bayway. Okay.
Correct. And then, but also something else you need to consider that's going to happen in the next 60 days. And if Alabama's elected officials were smart, they'd already be lobbying for this already. Is the Congress is going to take up an appropriations bill to raise the money necessary to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Why isn't Katie Britt, who's really good at getting appropriations and good friends with some Democrats like John Fetterman, already lobbying? Hey, we got this bridge down here in Mobile that's our port.
Because they don't need that vote, you know. And I mean, Baltimore, you know, the political might up there within the shadow of D.C. Well, I mean, number one, it's going to happen because it was a disaster and damage, right? We've talked about it here, the same way the Escambia bridge was built in Escambia County. After the hurricane, because this one wasn't destroyed in a storm or an act of man or an act of God. So it won't do that. And they don't, like, what do we have to trade? You know, that's the thing with Washington. What do we have to trade to those?
They're going
to
need Katie Britt's vote to get the 60 votes to get past the filibuster.
I don't think they do.
I think they do.
Okay. And we'll watch it. But when you start talking about this, you know, this Overton window keeps moving on. What, you know, remember back $800 million? Like, yeah, okay, $800 million. When they're saying now as much as $3.5 billion, which means $4 billion or more. That even gets their attention in Washington. I mean, we start talking about that many billions.
Correct.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. David, appreciate the call. Thank you. And here's the leverage point, maybe, that Aldott's going to say, well, we've already spent $200 million. I don't think Aldott wants to do this. I don't think I'm out on a very skinny limb saying that. I don't think Aldott wants to do this. It's going to take so much budget away from other projects in the state. So with they already committing $250 million, but they spent $200 million and there's no structure yet, if they wanted to go forward with it, I think they would make the argument that, hey, we've already spent this money. Do you want to let that just wither on the vine? But these, the cost, I just don't know if it can be. How many other partners, how many other pieces of money are you going to have come together to make this happen? I think it's a good thing. I'd love to have a non-toll bridge, you know, or you can toll that bridge and leave the other routes free. I'm game with that, but I don't know how to do it. Oh, by the way, T-Bone says, I am an engineer and tell David it's perfectly safe to stare at the sun during the eclipse or any other time. So, thank you. By the way, too, there are other people advertising their Abbey Awards. We won one, too, over the weekend. Mike Gordon, I did. We might mention that here in just a second. Come right back to the phones at 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Eclipse Monday style. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and get a week started here. How's inventory looking?
Inventory's good, Sean. We've been busy, though. I need to get out and buy some more stuff. I wasn't able to go to Florida this week, but plan on going next week for sure. We've got a lot of trucks in inventory. We've got a really nice GMC Canyon crew cab. It does have the 6-cylinder, not the 4-cylinder. We've got a couple of Camrys, a couple of Honda Accords, and got a real nice Mercedes GLE. We're selling a Lexus right now. That was a nice one. And we got a Toyota Tundra truck sitting out here that can be bought for $79.95. So that's a deal on a pickup truck.
Yes, it is. What about financing? How's that looking this week?
Financing is good. Everything we talked about, we can do financing on. Just need to come see us, and we've got a few things we need to ask you about, and then we'll go from there. But it's a real simple process, and we promise we can help you out.
All right. Tell people how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of the I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And we still can't see the eclipse here. I demand, it's not fair. We don't get to see stupid clouds. So, and I know some areas, some parts, like we talked to John Sharp, he was at Bayfront Park, cloudy, but they could see through, you know, with their glasses to see the sun. Here, we have no chance. We've just gone outside, although we're going to try it again. Could use some technology on my phone, and we'll see how this works. Do the last segment of Midday Mobile from outside as Dalton and I try to go see something. We saw one just last year too. We were here on a Saturday working on the studio. We're getting new carpet and paint in here, and we had to move a bunch of broadcast equipment that was going on. We checked that one out. That was cool. All right. So many texts come in here. Let me get to these at 343-0106. Jerry in Fort Morgan. All right. Got any report from down there? Out on the peninsula, Jerry, any kind of good viewing of the eclipse out there? I don't have a cloud map up here, so I just know at Airport in 65 is no good. Jerry said the money that was wasted on moving the airport should have been spent on the bridge. Well, we can talk about that, but they earmark them for certain projects. But even the money they spent on the airport, I mean, I've been doing this long enough. It was an $800 million project. Now we're looking at $3.5 billion, which I think would be higher than that. I don't know where all the money is going to come from on this. Unnamed texture says Aldott needs to consult with Maryland DOT. They know how to get a bridge built. If we had a bridge that had been knocked down by an act of man or an act of God, then we would have that argument. But that's just like the Escambia Bay Bridge. hurricane messed that up, they could replace it. I think they probably did the same thing on the I-10 span across Lake Pontchartrain after Katrina. I think that probably had federal funding as well. But there's something built in because you have a structure that now you can't use. It's a federal, you know, we already have a structure that can be used. Although the other part of this is not just in the getting more traffic across, the time span, and we hadn't talked about that in a while, but the age of the Bayway, I think is approaching maybe 10 years from end of life or something like that, maybe 15. They have these things, you know, we talked about it a bunch a couple of years ago. I'll have to look up those stories and see. They're saying not only do we need the increase for more traffic to get across with the bridge and this, but also the age of the Bayway has it at risk, something to that effect. I don't want to screw that up, the timeline, but I would have figured this out. All right. Now, what is that? Oh, Terry. Terry said, you bet the song I played a second ago, Bonnie Raitt, such low-hanging fruit. I expected more from you. Why not Pink Floyd's Eclipse? Well, first of all, Terry, do you know what I may have scheduled to come up next or at the end of the show? You don't, as I stack my bumper music here. And that's not Bonnie Raitt. That's Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. She had that hit, and then she had, she had that song. That was it. CB Carl just getting dark in Bon Secours. Yeah, how's the viewing? Y'all got the cloud cover there? He said, getting dark in Bon Secours like it's going to rain. Not even bothering the goat or hens. Pretty disappointing because I'll be 82 when the next one happens. Yeah, I wonder how long. What is it? I know they talked about this morning. Dan said he'd be, Dan was going to be 116 at the next eclipse, something like that. And thank you, T-Bone, earlier. Had texted in, so he hit up the chat GPT. He hit up the chat GPT. He said, ancient cultures often had myths. I should have Googled this, or chat GPT'd it. Ancient cultures often had myths, folklore, and other observations passed down through the generations that warned against looking directly at eclipses. They probably had some really interesting myth about it, why you couldn't do it, right? But maybe that's why, if you didn't hear last hour, I just asked this question, with the retinal damage you would do without using the glasses. Did ancient cultures just, everybody just burning retinas, whatever the track was of that eclipse, where they're just all these people on the planet with burnt retinas? Well, thank you. I get a picture here and a welding. People sending me pictures in welding mask. Grant, he's safe from the eclipse. Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Do we have to do that thing? What is it? Facebook, where you say safe from whatever the thing is? Chris, I'll get this to Dr. Bill. It's just coming in here to the studio. He said, hey, Sean, question for Dr. Bill Williams. Over here in Baldwin County, we have a heavy layer of stratocumulus clouds, and you can barely make out the image of the sun. Is it safe to look at the eclipse that way, glancingly? I would say no. I would just defer with no. I would just say no. All right. So there's a bunch more. We'll come back to the eclipse portions. I don't know what else, you know, or the animals acting wildly or whatever. 154 is when it's supposed to all go down, 154. And then from there, it's going to, you know, do the same thing. It's going to start getting lighter and lighter, and then the animals will really, really be confused at that point. People ask about the bridge portion. I don't know if it's the same, because ALDOT had put up $250 million into the bridge project. The way I'm reading the story now, ALDOT has already spent $200 million. And is that $200 million, is that cumulative? Because, you know, they've been doing environmental assessments, engineering. I mean, even did the mapping of what the shadow would look like in downtown Mobile from a bridge. They've been doing this for a decade or more, actually more than a decade. Is that cumulative, or is that $200 from the $250 million pledged? I don't know that yet, but hopefully I will by tomorrow. We'll dig into that. Speaking of tomorrow as well, I know one of the three big things this morning on the morning show with Dan and Dalton said Sheriff Paul Birch criticizing Pritchard Police, says the city's a safe haven for criminals. Well, it works this way, that tomorrow, being the second Tuesday of the month, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch will be my guest at noon tomorrow. So we'll have a lot to talk about with him. So if you have questions, he's been talking about this Pritchard thing is not new. He's been talking about that on my show for a while. Remember, even 4 or 5 months ago, that the Sheriff's Department went in and were working in Pritchard because the people of Pritchard, because remember, the Sheriff's Department is, if you're looking at like a GIS or a layered map, the Sheriff's Department's over the entirety of Mobile County. They can go and do that. And then on top of that, you put municipalities. So he had gone in there and they'd made arrests and done a bunch before. I think twice, actually, they did that. And so this is not brand new, what Sheriff Birch has been saying about Pritchard PD. I mean, he's been on the show. You can go back. If you'll look in our podcast, you can go to any of the places you subscribe to our podcast or through the app, through the FM Talk 106.5 app or our website. And if you go and search Sheriff Paul Birch and maybe Pritchard or something like that, those keywords, or just Google it, it'll come up with what he had said in the past. So, and we'll revisit that, I'm sure, tomorrow. And I mentioned the award thing. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Because I saw this good for NBC 15. They won a ABBY, Alabama Broadcasters Association Award. And, you know, last year it was Dan and Dalton winning some awards. This year, pretty good. So Mike Ward and I do a show called, if you don't listen on Saturday mornings or Saturday evenings or Sunday morning, when it replays the other times, Mike Ward and I, and it's a podcast too, I do a show called FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, right? We do this outdoor show. And, you know, usually I'm saying thank you to all of y'all when we win, you know, win nappies or other awards here. But this was like done inside the industry stuff, which means they're always against people like me, right? So it's lucky we got through, but we got the 2024. So I don't know if this is runner up. So the sports show category for broadcasters. So FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors gets the 2024 Judges Award of Merit. We were beaten by, this is how my personality is. This is why it's a pain to be around me. So just celebrating that. We were beaten by Jocks, which is the sports station up in Birmingham that is just a monster up there. Their show, Three Man Front. I don't know which one that is. But yeah, in the large market radio sports show, it was Jocks and then FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We got a trophy and everything for that. So thank you to the Alabama Broadcasters Association. It means Mike and I will keep doing the show, I guess, for another 30 years or so. So thank you very much. All right. Tell you what, we will. Do we have time? How am I looking on time? I'll take one call here before the break. And because it's Fireball, and I hadn't heard from him forever. Hey, Fireball.
Well, you could have heard from me Saturday if you'd have been up in Stockton.
Yeah, oh, you came out to see him? Yeah, I was. We were in the middle of burning a big portion of longleaf pine, so I had a big fire on my hand, so I couldn't make it.
I'm going to tell you, Sean, I wouldn't trust pictures with nothing. Didn't they just get awarded a bunch of money to redo the water and sewer?
Yeah, well, they got some, yes. Yes, they got some here recently, and they'll need a lot more for sure.
Well, they need to appoint somebody who's going to manage that money.
No, they have a receiver. Yeah, they do. And they do have a receiver for Pritchard Water and Sewer. Yes, they have somebody appointed now because it's now out of their hands and it's on the receiver's plate. So that part is yes, they have somebody there to do it. Now, not for the PD, though, separate thing.
Right. Well, I know that several years ago, my son got pulled over by Pritchard Police and he just about guaranteed me that police officer was drunk.
The police officer was drunk?
Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, son, you should have got his badge number and everything.
Wow. Well, I'll throw that in the mix because tomorrow we have Sheriff Birch on. We'll find out his take on that. So, Fireball, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on this Eclipse Monday, even though we can't, although it is dark. And, hey, Dalton, the clouds are breaking. Let's use this. We'll take the show outside of the studio and out in the parking lot next when we return on Midday Mobile. Pretty cool. Let's get, you might see it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, Dalton Orwig in studio right now. And let's see, let's try this out. We'll check in. Sean Sullivan, he should be live from just outside of the studios here.
You know, this kind of feels like the old walkie-talkie game because I can see you in the studio as I'm sitting out.
We're very remote here. You and I are separated by probably 40 yards or so, but I can see you through the glass of the FM Talk 106.5 studios. Before I get to the big payoff here on the eclipse, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Maybe you burn your retinas up and want to get rid of those. Listen, any junk you've got to get rid of at the house, maybe in an office, storage unit, if you've got junk, use the man that's been doing it for 16 years plus in our area. That's Trey Bennett with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's easy to make that appointment, too, whether it's eclipsing or not. Even on an eclipse day, you can go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Get a day and a time and a good old-fashioned appointment. And then they show up, and all you do is point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Use them even on this eclipse day or any time after. And Jay, say hi to my buddy Trey and get that junk gone. All right, Dalton, so here's the report. I have walked out to the it's not a mezzanine because it's outside, the paved area outside the opulent FM Talk 106.5 studios, and I'm sitting here looking, and I got excited because I saw some clouds to the east breaking where it's a lot lighter over to the east. And, you know, John Sharp earlier when he checked in from Bayfront Park had said they could see, you know, through the haze, they could see the sun. So I get excited. I walk out here, and it's nothing. I got no sun. So I'm looking at clouds, but it is, you know, it's, people look around outside and think about the fact that it's not even 2 o'clock today. And it looks like somebody had said on the text line earlier, it looks like rain clouds coming, or it looks like, you know, probably what looks like the way it gets dark this time of year, probably 5:30. It looks like 6 o'clock, dark out here. So you can definitely tell it's a lot darker than it should be, even with cloud cover. But now I have to go, I guess, watch the picture, look at the pictures, watch the video of everybody else who got to see the eclipse out there. So it didn't. If you're here at Airport and 65, you're not getting it.
And what I love, I'm looking out here right now in front of our office studios, and there are quite a few people who are trying to do the same thing you are, and they all look just as disappointed.
Yeah, we are. I remember like it last year, and by the way, yeah, I guess right now it's supposed to be at the, as much as we're going to get here, 70-something percent coverage at 154. This was supposed to be the peak time. That's why we, you know, did this and came out here right now. But you and I looked at one last year. I was saying earlier on the show, I remember you and I were here moving broadcast equipment when we were getting new carpet and paint in the studio, and we got to see one. And then 2017, as my glasses, if you go on the Facebook page, you can see, because I don't let go of anything like this, a valuable item, I still have my American Eclipse August 21st, 2017 glasses. That year was really good. I remember standing right here, the same beautiful paved area in front of the station, and looking at it back then, it was really cool. But today, yeah, we're getting shorted by the clouds, and I don't get it, so, oh well. Should I keep these? How long do I have to keep these for the next eclipse?
I think 22 years, something like that.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, for, you know, I'll pack them away somewhere. They store easily, and I'll break them back out then. I'm sure we'll find out by then that they weren't even doing the job, and they're like, oh, anybody who wore those back then, you have, you know, all kind of retinal damage. Celeste, out here, you'd like to look at the non-existent eclipse?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. So she's like, we're handing the glasses around here, but there's nothing to see, but everybody gets to stare up in the sky wearing a pair of welding mask glasses and nothing to see.
Some great info here on the text line from Michael. He said he can report with the eclipse all of the lights around town that have the photo cells, so I guess they can sense how much darkness there is. They're all popping on around ball fields around the area, so it's tricked at least some of the field lights.
I'm seeing that, and actually, so I can see the hotels that are here by us, by the studios, right up on the service road, their lights are coming on as well. I'm looking at the lights that are here outside, that light up the building here. They are not on, but for sure, a couple of the hotels right here by us, they're like, you know, just the basic lights around the front, they're coming on. The photocell lights are coming on. And let's see, I would say people have their headlights on, but, you know, our cars already decide to run our headlights all the time anyway, so people aren't making that decision. But yeah, it's probably 6 o'clock. Probably 6 o'clock dark. And that's about it. That's all I have to report from 40 yards away from you in the studio.
Well, let me give you this one more. We're getting some texts where people are blaming Dr. Bill for the cloud coverage today.
Well, I think tomorrow morning when Dr. Bill comes on with you and Dan, he'll have to take his licks on this one. It is his fault.
Look, that's Yeah, it may have to. And then some people are even getting rain right now. So some people are in a worse situation than even we are.
No, there's some dry. It is. I think I found a drop or two out here since I walked outside. So, yeah, a little bit of rain in the mix right now. So, yeah, I think somebody needs to make us whole. I think we've been shorted by not getting to see the eclipse. I hope there's some kind of government check that comes to me for not having seen the eclipse. Or we can organize in a class action suit.
I think that's the obvious next move.
You know, I mean, I want some equity here on seeing the eclipse.
Yeah, you got about 50 seconds here. You want to send everyone out for Midday Mobile?
Oh, I can send them out. Yeah, I can send them outside if you're somewhere that doesn't have thick cloud cover. And here comes law enforcement in here. What are they doing? If you got sun, you can go out there and look at it with your eclipse glasses and take cool pictures and send them to the FM Talk 106.5 text line and do it that way. Other than that, I will do this show again tomorrow. I don't think he's blinded by the light. Paul Feinbaum on the way next right here at FM Talk 106.5. And I'm about to walk 40 yards back in the studio.